Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Irish bluegrass band Jig Jam just released their new album, Across the Pond. The new 12-track collection showcases the band's blend of traditional Irish music blended nicely with bluegrass and Americana flavors. Their lead singer and founding member, Jamie, joins us in this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about the band's journey and relocating their home base to the United States. Jamie, hi, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time out of your schedule to chat with us today. So are you guys currently on tour?
Currently on tour, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. How long have you been in the States?
So we're kind of based over here now, but we've been over and back for probably the guts of 8 years.
Okay, so this is now kind of home.
Yeah, kind of. But like, we still get to go back to Ireland fairly regularly, but
yeah,
it's okay. Our home away from home.
Yeah, okay, great. So you formed in Ireland originally, right?
Yeah, back in 2012.
Yeah, and did all of you have a bluegrass Americana background before you got together? Were you in different bands?
No, we all kind of mainly had an Irish traditional background, which that was kind of what we grew up with. It's only really when Jig Jam started, I suppose, paving its own way, that the bluegrass came along and we started playing a lot of bluegrass stuff. We grew up playing the Irish stuff, and Doughy, who plays the five string in our band, he plays scrug style, so I suppose everything started naturally sounding quite bluegrassy.
Right.
So it's only when we really delved into it that we realized how similar bluegrass and Irish music are.
Okay.
And I suppose we track back the history of it all, and it made complete sense then for us to play bluegrass and Irish and go for that crossover. So bluegrass is still relatively new to us.
So when did that happen for you? When did that revelation happen?
I think we always, I think the band always played some bluegrassy sounding stuff, but it's probably only when we recorded our first album around 2015 is when we really started listening to bluegrass, like proper bluegrass music. And like, we would have heard random videos on YouTube and stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Different things that might be a little bit bluegrass or could be one way or the other. But it's only around then that we really, sat down and looked at where it all started with Bill Monroe and Earl Scruggs and all those guys. And started to realize how great it was, and also realize how much of an influence Irish music had on bluegrass. So,
yeah,
it all started making sense to us.
So you guys actually kind of sat down and took a historical look at the roots of bluegrass before you realized that a lot of its origins started from your own home country.
Yeah, so it was kind of a natural progression to figure all these things out. I suppose, being young guys, we were just playing music, you know.
Sure.
Like, we knew the history of Irish music. Like, I didn't know anything about bluegrass music. I I knew it involved five-string banjos and, you know, mandolins and double basses and things like that. But I didn't know where, I know I was definitely backwards. The first band I would have listened to that was anyway bluegrass lineup was the Punch Brothers.
Right, and, sure, yeah.
You know yourself with the Punch Brothers are so progressive that I suppose I was into that kind of thing. And then I'd listen to some of their more straight-up bluegrass stuff from their early days. And then after that, I kind of went back the way to discover all the older guys that would have started the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So when you guys finally kind of put all of this together, were you able to find an audience in Ireland that had an ear for what you guys had switched over to?
It's not a massive audience in Ireland for what we do.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the main reason we play so much in the States. Is because just the amount of work that we can get over here and
sure.
the amount of gigs we can get.
Yeah.
But the people that do listen to it are definitely into it at home in Ireland. We would have a decent following from people like the Irish music heads, like the traditional Irish followers. And then I suppose Ireland is just such a small community sort of country that, you know, people in our hometown always support us as well, which is a, is always great, you know. But our main following and our main, I suppose, our biggest fan base would be over here in the States for playing our type of music,
right.
as in our original stuff and everything.
And I think I heard you say that you kind of started this around 2015, 16 with a more bluegrass style album. Is that right?
It was the first album we recorded. I wouldn't even say it was bluegrass style. It was probably the first time that we tried to do our own thing. Like when we started in 2012, we were pretty much a cover band in bars playing for parties and everything and anything. It was just a hobby. I suppose 2015 was the first year that we said, oh, why not try do the stuff that we want to do as opposed to just, you know, playing for bar gigs and party gigs. And that was the first time where, like, the first album is still quite, you know, it's a typical first album. It's raw, it's rough and ready, and it was the start of us trying to think about what we could do with the band and what would suit what we do, you know.
Yeah. So has there been, so I know that there's a new one out now. Has there been any in between those two? Is this new one just your second album?
No, it's our fifth album, I think.
Okay.
It's definitely the most cohesive. I suppose, but I think every band will probably say that when they're starting out, you know, they get closer every time to what their sound is.
Right, sure.
What they think they represent, but I think definitely the one that we just released, Across the Pond, really, I suppose, describes what we do and what we sound like and what we write about and things like that, you know.
So as a songwriter, when you started thinking about this new album, are all of the songs written with this album and your kind of your current flavor in mind, or are these collected from different time periods?
It's probably a little bit of both. There's a few songs there that have been probably sitting on a random voice note recording in my phone for a few years.
Yeah.
Some of them were definitely written for the album. Like, I suppose, looking at what we had and what we needed when we were going through the writing process, you definitely have a little bit more of an angle when you're writing with some of the songs. You know, whether you need something a little bit slower tempo or faster tempo, or you need something with a certain time signature or a certain vibe or a certain topic, then you can write something or try to write something with that angle. Sometimes it works, sometimes you're not successful, but it's some of those. And then there's some songs that or even bits of songs that might have been lying around for a few years now and finally got around to finishing them and putting an arrangement on them.
Is it a collective process when you start putting together the songs for the album, or does yourself or one other individual bring the songs to the band and then you work up what you have?
Everybody kind of brings, like, whatever they've written or songs that they've put together to the band, and the band will obviously put the finishing touches on it. Sometimes guys come with a full arrangement. Sometimes guys might come with, you know, maybe a verse or a chorus or even just a riff or something. But it's, it's always collective. And, you know, there's always tunes and songs flying into the WhatsApp group that we have and, you know, trying to always keep us, keep it fresh. And whether it's with originals or even, you know, we're always looking for old folk songs that we can put our own spin on. You know, if someone hears a song that they think, oh, we could do a job on that.
I read in the liner notes, I don't know if it originated from you guys or somebody talking about your music, but kind of compared you. The line was, Ireland's answer to Newgrass revival. Are you familiar with that statement?
I'm familiar, yeah. It's a hard one to live up to, though.
Listening to some of your clips, I definitely hear that flavor. Was that somebody's observation, or did you guys kind of feel like that was kind of where you're headed with this?
Oh, that was someone's observation. I don't think we'd say that about ourselves. It's a nice line to hear anyway. Newgrass Revival are definitely a big influence on what we do. I suppose we try to bring that jam aspect into the Irish music. Sometimes when it's not typical to Irish music, you know, people usually play the melody in unison.
Yeah.
We try to bring the improvisation side of things into Irish tunes and songs. And then sometimes we just flip it the other way with the bluegrass tunes and play them like an Irish tune in unison, you know.
Sure, yeah.
And usually they'd be played in with people taking solos and improvising and stuff.
You mentioned earlier you felt like the music was evolving from where you started to where you are today. Newgrass Revival, a lot of the music has percussion in it. Is that something that you guys have experimented with, or is that something potential on the horizon?
As regards percussion, all we use on the stage is just a stomp box. Like, it's like a electric kick drum.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
We try to not overdo it. I'd say we might do sometimes, but I suppose it's a very handy thing for festivals to have there. But as regards just the percussion aspect of our music, we try to create it, I suppose, the bluegrass way with the stringed instruments, you know,
sure.
With your mandolin chop on the backbeat, and, you know, different rhythms on the guitar and banjo and fiddle, whatever it is. So we try to create those rhythms without percussion.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what's going to happen in a few years' time. Maybe something will come along in that regard. But at the minute, we kind of pride ourselves on trying to create a groove without the use of percussion, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it definitely works. I love what you guys do. I believe it was around about this time last year, you actually got a chance to play on the Grand Ole Opry, right?
Yeah, we did. It was actually today, a year ago today, would you believe?
Yeah.
It was our Opry debut. It was very, very special. Now, a lot of our family members flew out to Nashville as well to see us.
We were
with Steve Earle was on the lineup that night, and Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood even turned up with special guests. It was just a very, very cool experience to get to play on such a prestigious stage. You know, I'd been to the Opry myself as a spectator, you know, watching the show, and it was always a bucket list gig to get. So it was very cool.
Did you feel a different kind of attention after that was over from your fan base, or an enlarged fan base from that experience?
Yeah, it definitely helps big time. I think it's a great thing to have on your CV that you've played the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
I suppose even with festivals and people trying to book us, it's definitely created more of an interest in the band, which is great, because obviously the Grand Ole Opry doesn't just let anybody play there.
Right,
so it's nice to know that we were, regarded, good enough to grace the stage, which was great. And I think a lot, you know, there's so much respect for that stage and that venue that I think people definitely realize it, you know, and appreciate it.
Right, yeah. So the album is called Across the Pond. It's out just recently, and you guys are on currently on tour in support of that. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, we're touring on the back of that album. So the whole month of March is full. We have our first day off today. We're just in Cape Cod trying to catch up on some sleep.
Yeah, well, what a great place to catch up on sleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's beautiful there. And you're based in what part of the United States now? You mentioned earlier that that you're kind of here.
Yeah, there's three of us in St. Louis, Missouri. Our fiddle player is actually from St. Louis.
Okay,
so
cool.
Myself and Dahi use that as a base, and then Gavin, the mandolin player, is based in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay, awesome. And what's the rest of your spring and summer, fall tour? Where does that take you? Are you going to be at this for a while?
Yeah, so after this tour, we have a few weeks off, and then we have a couple of festivals. We're playing Merlefest in North Carolina.
Yeah, that's great. I hope to catch you guys there. That's a great festival.
Yeah. So we'll be there, and then we're at Delfest as well.
Awesome.
And then the summer is pretty much a good mix of bluegrass, folk, and a couple of Irish folk fests as well. So
yeah, are you guys currently just focused on the festivals, or are you doing some smaller pub style gigs mixed in with that? What is your off time look like?
So in our off time we kind of do our own thing. We used to do residency gigs in a bar in St. Louis called McGurk's. That was always very good to us.
Yeah.
But at the minute, it's more so like, so during the springtime, the tour we're on now is mainly kind of theatres, performing arts centres, places like that. And then when it gets into the summer, the weekends would be festivals. And then during the week, it could be a club gig, a venue, could be maybe some sort of summer concert series out in the park somewhere. You know, we've kind of mixed bag, but it's kind of festivals every weekend once summer starts.
Yeah, awesome. That's cool. So how can people reach you guys? I'm sure there's a website. What's the best way to get a copy of the new album and find out your full tour schedule?
Yeah, so the website is jigjam.ie, and all our social media handles are Jigjam Live.
Okay.
So everything's on the website. You can get all the merch and the hard copy CD there on the website, and obviously it's available on the streaming platforms as well.
And your back catalog as well?
Yeah, it is indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you, Jamie. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day off to chat with us a little bit and share with us with your new record. And we certainly wish you well with it. Look forward to seeing you out there on the road somewhere.
Well, cheers for the call. Thanks so much.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.